Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A record-breaking number of voters turned out for Michigan's primary election Tuesday, and they have spoken. At the top of the Michigan ballot for the GOP, Attorney General Bill Schuette bested Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly.
Well, it's time to win again, and it started tonight with a big win, and we will finish the job when we win in November.
And for the Democrats, Gretchen Whitmer topped Abdul El-Sayed.
We need a governor who knows how to get things done, who's ready to roll up her sleeves and get to work.
So let's talk results, turnout, and election night glitches with Michigan Radio Zoe Clark and from the Gonger News Service, Zach Gorchow. Welcome to both of you.
Hello, Cindy.
Hello there.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed that post-election day fugue. All right, let's start. Zoe, winners and losers. Any surprises for you in the results?
Well, if we're talking about the gubernatorial race, no. This is not shocking. These are the two front runners. They were the most well-known within inside Michigan politics and things like that. But I think there were some questions about, particularly on the Democratic side, Sri Tanadar, who of course spent millions and millions and millions of his own money. I think one mathematical report shows that with all the money he spent, he ended up spending, you know, just per vote, just some sort of ridiculous number. Abdul El-Sayed had some sort of momentum in the last final few days, getting endorsements from big progressives, including Bernie Sanders here in Michigan campaigning. But in the end, it is Gretchen v. Schuette, which likely would have been the lead had we guessed, you know, a year ago.
That Trump blessing for Bill Schuette and for John James, the Senate candidate for the GOP, seemed to work for both of them. Did you have any doubts about the Trump touch?
I didn't, mostly just because we were in a primary election. And that's where folks who are, you know, hardcore Republicans and hardcore Democrats turn out. So, no, absolutely not. Schuette, I like to say, recently hasn't doubled down on the endorsement of Trump, but quadruple million infinity down. I mean, it seemed like any single time that he could put it out, he says that he's been endorsed by the president, Donald Trump. Now, what I think the big question is what does he do to move to the center? Does he try to move to the center in the general, or is the idea still to run as the Donald Trump favorite and hope that that, you know, gets turnout in November?
And Zach, on the other side, El-Sayed did not get that glow from the endorsements from Bernie Sanders and also Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic Socialist from New York. As a matter of fact, every candidate she endorsed lost. So that tells us that that mainstream Hillary wing of the party, if you will, beat out the progressive Bernie wing?
Yeah, and I think if you look at a lot of the state legislative results in Michigan, it definitely bears that out. Abdul El-Sayed tried to nationalize this race, and it didn't work. Gretchen Whitmer ran really a by-the-book race to win the Democratic nomination. She assembled basically almost every union and key Democratic endorsement, from unions to Emily's List to Planned Parenthood. She had all the key players like Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, the congressional delegation, behind her. And, you know, Abdul El-Sayed got all sorts of national publicity. But when it came right down to it, Gretchen Whitmer wasn't talking about, you know, super lofty ideas like no corporate money in politics or single payer. You know, her message was, I'm going to do some things for you that will help you right now. And, you know, the single payer idea, while it definitely appeals to Democrats and most Democrats support it, these results suggest they were aware that the idea that a Michigan governor was just going to be able to wave a wand and create single payer health care did not resonate. It wasn't something that people really latched onto. Gretchen Whitmer was talking about things like the roads, better access to health. Better access to health care, improving schools, like really more ground level things. That's not what Abdul El-Sayed was talking about.
I want to touch on the 11th, Zoe, covering parts of Wayne and Oakland counties. This is the one who's going to replace retiring Republican Dave Trott. Looks like Lena Epstein, who helped run Donald Trump's campaign in Michigan, won for the GOP, and Haley Stevens, who worked on the auto bailout for the Obama administration and was endorsed by Hillary, wins on the Democratic side. And this is, a lot of national analysts have looked at the 11th, that it could swing Democratic. Anything from the voting numbers yesterday that gives you a sense of who might have the advantage heading into November?
Well, I think this is going to go to, you know, how big the blue wave is, if there is going to be this blue wave. I would say the 11th and as well the 8th, maybe even more so the 8th, which is sitting incumbent Congressman Mike Bishop, who Alyssa Slotkin will be running against him as a Democrat, another woman. And so really what this, for me, watching will all be about is turnout. And if Democrats get turnout higher than midterms in decades, which is what they will have to do, because as we know, Democrats just don't turn out in the midterms like Republicans in Michigan do. Those two seats are something to be watched. Also, in terms of the Alyssa Slotkin, though, it's an interesting candidate going back to this progressive versus sort of establishment, you know, issue. Mm-hmm. She is running sort of as this hawkish Democrat, right? CIA experience. It reminds me a little of Connor Lamb when he won in Pennsylvania months ago. It's this sort of centrist Democrat, but who will not on the record or you know, will not say that they will vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker if Democrats take back the House. So it's this interesting dance that many Democratic candidates are doing, which is kind of staying towards the center and the middle to not seem incredibly extreme come the general, but also not saying, hey, I'm going to stick with some of the establishment Democratic figures in D.C. who remain so unpopular among voters.
Zach, I want to switch over to something that clearly from your Twitter feed startled you, and that is the state Senate race, Senator David Kinesic in Michigan's 5th, appearing to be losing to challenger Betty Jean Alexander. Did you see that coming?
This could be the biggest upset I've covered in 20 years of tracking Michigan government and politics.
Huge.
It is shocking. She had what's called a waiver, which means she didn't have to file any campaign finance paperwork because she had said she was going to spend less than $1,000 on the race. Usually anybody who has that waiver is a dead person walking. They're a non-entity. Mm-hmm. She did not respond to any questionnaires to describe really anything about herself. There was no indication that anything here was happening. There's some chatter that possibly there was a big mail dump into the district, sort of stealth style, still working to confirm that, so I don't want to get too into the details on it. If this result holds, and David Kinesic has not, at least prior to this interview starting, had not conceded, if it holds, it is a shocking upset. David Kinesic was really something of a rising star in Democratic circles. He has been heading up much of the Senate Democratic campaign efforts. And you talk to Senate Democrats, and they are just flabbergasted by this. You know, these accidental elected officials, sometimes it really turns out to be a big problem. They are sort of a fish out of water. And, you know, I guess we'll find out what the deal is with Betty Jean Alexander if this result holds.
And the if. Now, Zach, that leads me to look at all the tweets you were sending out about trouble in Wayne County. You tweeted last night, this is a major, major debacle for Clerk Kathy Garrett. What happened in Wayne County?
Well, we don't know all the answers, but I can tell you what at least we observed, which is that late last night, there were some really weird numbers showing. One of them was this Kinesic race. There was another district where the result was completely at odds with what was expected. And then all of a sudden, you went from being at, like, let's just say 50% of the precincts reporting to 20% of the precincts reporting. Well, that is a sign of big trouble and the numbers aren't right. Then you start hearing, wait, these numbers aren't right at all. I heard this morning, this is unconfirmed, but it stands to reason, based on what we saw, that some of the votes were accidentally counted twice. And they ended up having to start over. A number of people were calling Rashida Tlaib the winner of the 13th Congressional District primary relatively early in the morning based on a substantial margin Wayne County's numbers were showing for her. And it appears she will win, but the margin now is only one percentage point. And it really appears to me that a lot of folks jumped the gun on calling her the winner. And remember, Wayne County still has to canvass these results over the next 2 weeks. And let me tell you, numbers in Wayne County, especially in the city of Detroit, move around during this canvassing period. And that's an 800-vote margin for Rashida Tlaib. And I would not bet my house on whether that margin holds or not. I think there's still some uncertainty there about what's going on in that race. And so, you know, Wayne County now has shown numbers that are 100% of the precincts reporting. But you talk to Democratic professionals, and they're saying things I've never heard, like, we're just going to have to see what the County Board of Canvassers does today. I don't know. I'll ask them, are these numbers right? Maybe. I mean, this is astonishing.
What do we know today that we didn't know yesterday, Zoe?
Oh, gosh, Cindy, that's a great question. That indeed folks are pumped up to vote. We are looking that this is going to be over 2 million votes cast. I think predictions were between 1.2 and 1.8, 1.8 being on the high end million. We're over 2 right now. So that's big. And I think portends, if you are Democrats, that there is going to be some kind of blue wave. But of course, you know, as we all like to say, the only polling that matters is on Election Day. And I think the biggest thing is being unsurprised by the results that, you know, in 2016, both March 8th, which was the primary, and then, of course, in November, lots of people were surprised. I think this morning it was sort of a, oh, okay, it's kind of what we predicted happened, right? I don't want any political reporters to be complacent and go, oh, right, we're back in the prediction business. But I was sort of shocked that we weren't shocked by it, because election post-mornings have been so interesting the past few years.
Final few seconds, Zach, what are you going to most closely watch as we look to November?
I mean, it's got to be the governor's race. Mm-hmm. This is the whole ball game. The Democrats absolutely must win the governorship to retain relevancy in the state of Michigan for the next decade. You can talk about the congressional seats, and that's all nice. You know, they've got uphill fights in both houses of the legislature. The Whitmer versus Schuette race is the ball game. If they lose that, you're looking at Michigan being more like Ohio, more of a red state. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an absolute all-out battle. Voters are going to be sick of these candidates and negative ads probably by mid to late September. This is something Bill Schuette's been building toward for almost 30 years. He's not going to leave anything on the table. Gretchen Whitmer is a tenacious campaigner. She's shown herself that, you know, she knows how to win a big-time statewide race and by a big margin. She's a tenacious campaigner. This is going to be a really fascinating race to watch.
Zach Gorchow from Gongwer News Service and Michigan Radio's Zoe Clark. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.